It's here and now. So what happens now that Congressman Tom Marino, President Trump's nominee for White House drug czar, has withdrawn his name from consideration after that scathing Washington Post 60 Minutes report pointing out Marino's ties to the drug industry? And what happens to the bill Marino pushed through Congress, legislation backed by the drug industry, which weakens the Drug Enforcement Administration's, the DEA's, ability to keep drug companies from selling opioids to bad actors on the black market? Well, Lev Fascher is Washington correspondent for our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Lev, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And start by briefly reminding us more about what was in that bill.
The meat of the bill, the controversial element, was a provision that made it extremely difficult, essentially, for the Drug Enforcement Agency to freeze shipments from drug distributors it viewed as suspicious. That was obviously not a popular provision once it came to light in the Washington Post 60 Minutes report. And it looks now that a bill from Senator Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat from Missouri, is likely to be successful in repealing that law from last year.
Well, is there likely to be bipartisan support for a repeal? I mean, as you mentioned, it was pretty shocking for everyone to hear this report from Sunday that, in fact, the DEA could not stop the drug industry from, you know, these shipments of drugs to, as we said, bad actors on the black market. So it would seem as if everyone would want to get rid of that.
You know, it's still unclear. Orrin Hatch, who's the Republican from Utah, had not been a fan of the Post's reporting. He seems unlikely to support a repeal. At the same time, Shelley Moore Capito, who's a Republican from West Virginia, had said essentially she would support repealing the bill. In the House, it's unclear. I've heard there are some potentially bipartisan efforts afoot. Democrats obviously are going to be broadly supportive of repealing the 2016 law. It seems it's likely to be repealed. It's unclear how much Republican support there will be. But that's the state of play right now.
Right. Well, and what about the position of drug czar? This is the head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. I mean, we're in the middle of a huge epidemic, over 200,000 people dead. Are there any other names being floated?
There are a couple names that are starting to very tentatively circulate. There's Frank Ginta, who is a former Republican congressman from New Hampshire, who is said to have been vetted by the administration earlier this year for the position. He lost a race after a campaign finance scandal, but is also the co-founder of the Bipartisan Heroin Task Force in the House of Representatives, so he's a candidate. Governor Chris Christie, actually, who chairs the president's commission on the opioid crisis, is said to be a candidate. The issue there is he is in office until January. It's not clear whether he'd be interested even in the position or in stepping down from the governorship earlier than that. But he has a track record of policy work, not to mention a $200 million initiative in the state of New Jersey that he just rolled out a few weeks ago, which is being billed by some as a potential national model for how to deal with the opioid crisis. There's also Bertha Madras, who sits on that commission, is a Harvard professor, worked on the demand reduction side at the Office of National Drug Control Policy under George W. Bush. So a couple good candidates who have been involved in this work, a couple other names floating around. But it's unclear when they'll appoint a new ONDCP director, and it's worth bearing in mind they also don't have a long-term Health and Human Services secretary as of today.
Well, a couple things. Chris Christie has been really tough on this issue. You mentioned he has a report coming out next month. His interim report was very tough. What might we hear, just very briefly, that might be interesting and new from the new report?
So we'll know more after Friday when the commission has, I believe, its final in-person meeting before that November report is issued. That meeting focuses on insurance. I think we'll see much more in the report about the role that insurers and health providers specifically can play in combating the epidemic. But it'll also be interesting to see if President Trump or the Department of Health and Human Services does declare this a public health emergency, what elements of the commission's interim report are included.
Well, some of the things that states want, more access to overdose reversal drugs at a lower cost or no cost, some policy changes to the way Medicaid reimburses for substance use, more money to fight addiction by getting funds elsewhere. So these are some of the things people want.
Yeah, there are things the president could potentially do. A lot of people are hoping he eliminates what's called the IMD exclusion, which prevents federal Medicaid money from being used for reimbursements at addiction treatment facilities with more than 16 beds. A lot of people say that's a big bottleneck just in terms of capacity for delivering addiction treatment. There are other people who worry that that's not quite the panacea some people think it is. and that it'll lead to a good amount of low-quality care being delivered that could cause more problems down the line. And there's also the potential, and the administration doesn't need to use the emergency declaration to do this, for using the Strategic National Stockpile, which the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention runs, to distribute some drugs and some treatment capacity, potentially open some health centers staffed by local workers to better serve people in need of addiction treatment who are not currently receiving it.
Lev Fesher, Washington correspondent for STAT. It feels like the fight against opioid addiction and the crisis in this country may get back on the radar again. Lev, thank you.
Thanks for having me.